Our text this morning is taken from Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Please keep your Bible open to Luke 5. The topic is At Thy Word, At Thy Word, which were the words of Peter, at thy word, verse 5, I will let down the net, at thy word. God is speaking to us today. Our God is not a silent God. Our God is a God who speaks, and he wants us to know him. And he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to know his mind. He wants us to know his heart. But how does he speak today? Does he speak through his voice? Is it through angels? Is it through visions and dreams? Yes, the Lord used all these ways, all these means in times past. But today he speaks to us through his word. And how we thank God we live in a very privileged and blessed time. For we have the whole scriptures, the complete Bible, all 66 books, all that God wants us to know so that we might be successful in our life here on earth. The things we do are all found in the canonical scriptures. The word of God itself, completed, perfected, 39 books of the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. No more, no less. Thus saith the Lord, it is written, man shall live by his every word, word that proceedeth from out of his mouth. And so when we read the Bible, which is God's word, it is as if God is speaking directly to us. There's no other book like the Holy Scriptures. When you read your other books, you hear the words of men. Only one book in the world, when you read it, you hear the voice of God. And that is the Holy Bible that we have in our hands today. God is speaking. Are we hearing? It is important that we hear, God's word. But are we hearing God's word? Are we understanding God's word? It's not enough for us to know God's word and to understand God's word. It is important also for us to obey God's word. And this is what we want to learn this morning from this passage here in Luke chapter 5. God is speaking, but how do we respond to God's word? If we respond to God's word rightly, there is life, there is blessing, there is reward. But if we respond to God's word wrongly, all of us hear God's word. God's word is being preached, God's word is being taught, God's word is being read. You hear the words of God, but how do you respond? And if we respond wrongly, instead of a blessing, we'll receive a curse. Instead of salvation, it will be destruction. You see, God says, my word will go forth and will not return unto him void. That means it will do its intended and effective work, whether positively or negatively. So no one can say, I can listen to God's word and hear God's word, and then, you know, it doesn't matter if I receive it or not. It doesn't matter if I follow it or not. I just don't care. No, if you hear God's word, you are held responsible for the word that has been preached or taught or read to you. And if we respond correctly, it will be a wonderful thing. Many, many fold blessings from the Lord. If not, then may God have mercy on us. There is judgment. His word will not return unto him void. The same word that is preached, God will hold us accountable. And there is judgment in the day to come, on the final day. And God will hold us accountable. I preach, I told you, didn't I? You know all the good words of mine. You heard the good news. And all these things are good for you. And you choose to reject. You deny. You don't want to obey. You don't want to follow. There is a consequence for our actions. And God wants us to respond in the right way. I pray none of us will respond wrongly and get offended with the word of God. And then say, I know better. I know better than God. And that'll be very, very foolish of us to come to that conclusion and respond to God in such a way. For God is not mocked, dear friends. So we want to know how we can respond rightly to God's word. And when we study God's word, we must study God's word with a heart and mind of faith. And then there will be blessing. There will be rewards. And this is a lesson we learn from Luke chapter 5. Now in verse 1 we read, and it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now here we are told, the people pressed upon him. And this shows that the people were hungering and thirsting for God's word. They were pressing upon him. They want to get very near to the Lord Jesus Christ. And not simply to see him, they came because of his word. Because of his word. They wanted to hear the word of God. And there was a dearth of God's word in the land in those days. The religious preachers and teachers were not really preaching and teaching God's word. And the people were hungering for God's word. And Jesus now came. And he taught in a very, very special way. Not like the scribes and the Pharisees. Full of dead orthodoxy. But when Jesus came and when he spoke, his words were full of life. So different. They were captivated by God's word. We never heard God's word preached and taught like this. And so they pressed upon him to hear him. They want to hear his every word. And Jesus, by this time, had already done a whole lot of preaching and teaching. And we know this from the context. You look at chapter 4, the last two verses. In chapter 4, verse 43 and 44, we read, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Well, that was the primary purpose of the Lord. And not just to die on the cross, which he will do for our sins, and to be raised from the dead, but before that, he spent a whole lot of time preaching the kingdom of God all over Palestine, all over the Holy Land, in the many cities that we have visited, right, recently. For therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogue of Galilee. In the synagogues of Galilee. And what did he preach? He preached the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is also called the kingdom of heaven. How can we get into heaven? Jesus preached and taught them how they can find their way to heaven. And of course, he showed them how. He himself is the way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection of life. I am the bread of life. And all these things, you eat of me, you'll never grow hungry. And the water of life that I give to you, once you drink, you will never thirst again. He was preaching all these wonderful things about the kingdom of God, about himself. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is right now, right here, because I am present. The scribes and the Pharisees could never preach like this. Jesus spoke with great authority and power. And we also see this from verse 31 and 32, chapter 4. Right, look at chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, 31 and 32. And here we are told, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. I'm sure he was in the synagogue. And when we were in Capernaum, we were in that ancient synagogue when Jesus taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. At his doctrine. For his word was with power. For they were the words of life. And when he preached the kingdom of God, I'm sure he also spoke about what man is, what we are like. Are we holy? Are we good? No, we are sinful. We are undone. We are condemned in our sin. We are under the curse of the law. And how can we be reconciled to God? Jesus surely must have preached, I will do something for you. I must die. I must give my life for you. I must die on the cross. I must be crucified. I must shed my blood, because I am the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And on the third day, I will rise from the dead. What powerful doctrine is this? We cannot save ourselves. Only Jesus can save us. All the other religions in the world teach us to do good. Teach us how we must do many, many good things. That perhaps we can enter into heaven if in the end of our life our good works are more than our evil or bad works, then maybe we qualify. But they can never be sure. But the doctrine of Jesus Christ is so powerful, so unique, it says, no, you cannot save yourselves at all. Nothing you do, even the good works that we perform, or seemingly good works in the sight of men, but in the sight of God, they are no good at all. They are as filthy rags. Do we realize how holy God is? And sometimes we make the mistake of judging God's holiness according to our standards. No. We must know what are the holy standards of God himself through his word, and then measure us according to who and what God is. And when we really know and realize this, we find ourselves totally, yes, I am utterly sinful, condemned, hopeless, helpless. And he was preaching the kingdom of God to them. And they wanted to hear more and more, which is a good sign. How about us? How about us? Do we press upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Try to get near to him as much as we can, so we might hear his words. Is there this hunger and thirst after righteousness? Is there this hunger and thirst after the righteous words of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life? If we have this hunger and thirst, then it's a good sign, because it shows that we are spiritually healthy. You know, a healthy person will have a good appetite, right? If you're not well, you're sickly, you're ill, you will lose your appetite. But if you have a good appetite, it means you have good health. Spiritually speaking, if you have a healthy appetite for God's word, then it's good for you. You are alive in Christ. And you desire and you hunger and thirst for God's word. And each time you come to church on the Lord's Day, it is for this reason. I desire to worship my Lord and Savior. His word is so good. I want to know him more and more. I come. And each day of the week, you are looking forward to the Lord's Day, to read and study and know God's word and to know the will of God. What does God want me to do in my life? You come with such anticipation and expectation, pressing upon the Lord Jesus, and you say, Sunday is not enough. I need to know God more and more and study him more and more. Thank God for the fellowship meetings. I come and study his word. Family Bible fellowship coming up. And we're going to study on eschatology. Wow, what is that subject? The study of the end times, study of the second coming of Christ. I want to know. And then with eagerness, you are pressing upon Jesus. Lord, teach me. I must come. I must make it a point to come. Forget about appointment with friends, right? To go to the movies, or for sports, or for makan. Oh, this is more important. I want to know. I press upon him to hear the word of God. Do we feel like this? And then it's not enough. We have night classes. The Far Eastern Bible College open to the public. Do you make it a point to come and study God's word? Or are you just busy making money and you have no time? You're not hungering for God's word, but you are hungering more and more for material wealth. And those couple of hours, oh, I can make a couple of more thousands of dollars so I can skip, right, studying God's word. Let me just say, you're making a bad investment. Come and invest your life and your time with God's word. And I'm thankful that more and more are thirsting and hungering for God's word. And on Monday and Thursday nights, we thank God for about 200 who come steadily and regularly, faithfully to study God's word. And before, when we had the FEBC hall, which was not large enough to take 200 really, we had to use the dining area. Some had to sit at the corridor in the dining area, and then those in the hall were all very squeezed, right? Basically shoulder to shoulder. Yet they come, despite the discomfort. They really want to know God and his word. And that's a good sign. And there are many testimonies how the word of God has changed their lives, and they have experienced the power of God's word in their life, and that's why they keep coming. And the Lord now has been pleased to let us return to the church sanctuary, which can seat easily 500, and of course the space to welcome relief. Are you hungering for God's word? Come. See, the Lord is making the space open for you. Come and study God's word. If you come, no need to register. You're already in the second half of the semester. You just come, sit in, listen, right? Listen to God's word for the rest of the semester. Monday night, 7:30, Thursday night. Monday night, I'm teaching on New Testament introduction, a bird's eye view of the New Testament. We are going to start on the epistles this time. We have covered Gospels and Acts already. We're going to study the epistles, beginning with the book of Romans, tomorrow night. So come and enjoy the space the Lord has blessed us with now to study His Word. And Thursday night, Reverend Das Koshy is teaching from the Gospel of John. Are we pressing upon Jesus, wanting to hear the Word of God? I pray we will be healthy, dear friends, and make ourselves available for the Lord to work in our lives through His Word. And the people were not few, they were many. For the Word here says, as the people pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God. The people, and in the original, the word people here is the word for a crowd. A lot of people, a multitude of people. And they were pressing upon Him. And so much so that they were, you know, Jesus was in danger of being pushed into the sea, into the water. And so what did the Lord Jesus do? In verse 2 and 3, now Jesus here, right, in such a situation, did not say, oh, let me escape from all this, you know, I'm suffocating, or I'm... No, He did not mind. He was looking for ways and opportunities to preach and teach God's word. And so He saw, right, two ships. Verse 2, and He saw two ships standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets, right? So the fishermen had vacated their boats. They were all cleaning up. And then He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, or Simon Peter's boat, and prayed Him that He would thrust out a little from the land, and He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So the boat became His pulpit, the stage or the platform to begin His pulpit ministry of preaching and teaching His word. And so there was a little distance between the people and Himself. He could preach and teach, right, to them comfortably, and also they would be able to hear better since there was this distance. And they could see Him as well. And it says that he sat down, right? He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. That was what He wanted to do. And the sitting posture is a posture of the rabbi in those days. The rabbis in those days sit down to teach, right? But today it's the opposite, right? You are sitting, and I'm standing. It's all right, just don't go to sleep, right? But in those days, the teachers, the rabbis, would sit, and then they will teach. And here we find Jesus doing precisely this, because He knew if these people are going to be saved, they need His word. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the rhema of God, the preached word of God. The word of God read and expounded, applied. And so He taught them a whole lot of things. What did He teach them? Surely He must have taught them about the kingdom of God. In those days, sermons are not short. Sermons were long. Right, we're wrong. And after He had preached, what happened? Well, He, in verse 4, right, we see this. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, why did Jesus do this? Now, His action here is tied to His sermon. He was about to perform a miracle. And this miracle was to illustrate or demonstrate how he was truly the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have heard my words, but know who I am. And he is going to demonstrate to them powerfully how he is God himself. How he is God himself. And so he told Simon, all right, now launch out into the deep, take your boat now and just go out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And here we find Simon Peter responding in the most remarkable way. I think we have a whole lot to learn from Peter over here. Now in verse 5 we see Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now, here, understand that Peter was a master fisherman. I mean, he was an expert in fishing. That was his profession. He had done this all his life. He knew how to catch fish, right? He was an expert in fishing. And here we have Jesus, who was a carpenter, and his hometown was Nazareth. Nazareth was far from the sea. He is not from any of the cities of Galilee. He was not a fisherman, he was a carpenter. Now, Peter could have responded in such a way. Who are you to tell me what to do? I am a fisherman. We have toiled all night, caught nothing. We know where the fish are. We worked very hard all night. We came back with nothing. And now in an hour of a day where usually, all right, no fish will be plentiful. Now you ask us to go out so that we will catch a whole lot? You must be kidding. And who are you? You are a carpenter. You know how to build furniture. I am a fisherman all my life. Who are you to tell me what to do? He could have responded to the Lord Jesus in this way. And if he had responded to the Lord Jesus in this way, no blessing for him. Thankfully, Peter didn't respond to Jesus in that way. Good for him. For he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. At thy word. And the net, I mean, they were finished, all right? They were done with their fishing, remember? They had got out their boats, they had brought all their nets. They must be very heavy, right? The nets they had, and they were already cleaning their nets. And by this time, they must have completed cleaning their nets, which is a laborious process. Cleaning their nets, hanging them up to dry, packing up ready to go home. And then here you have Jesus telling Peter, now take out all the nets, go out into the sea and then catch fish. I mean, if you were Peter, after a whole night of fishing, you must be very tired already. And then they have spent hours cleaning their nets. Now their nets are clean, hung to dry, and now they have to use them and go out. How would you feel? It would be much easier for you to say, don't bother me. You know, we are already so tired the whole night. We have been toiling and we have just cleaned our nets, and now you tell us to go back in the sea. Forget it. He could have responded in this way, right? I think, carnally speaking, it would be easier for us to respond in that way. But Peter didn't. Good for him. At thy word, I will let down the net. And how did, you know, Peter come to such a response? I mean, why did he say this? At thy word, I will let down the net, despite, you know, the situation and the conditions that were opposed to what he thought would be best, right? I'm sure when Jesus was teaching, he was listening. Jesus taught from the boat. He was cleaning his net. He was nearby. Jesus was using his boat to teach. And I'm sure he was listening to what Jesus had taught. And the words of Jesus, the words that he had taught from the boat, all his doctrines must have moved and convicted Peter's heart. And now the Lord spoke a specific word to him. Now take all your nets, go into your boat, go out there and fish. And yes, Peter heard God's word and obeyed God's word. At thy word, I will let down the net. Will we hear God's word and respond in the same way? You know, many a time we are encouraged to study God's word, study the Bible, know the Bible. But then we have all kinds of excuses, right? I know better. Don't tell me what to do. I'm so tired. I can't make it. How wonderful it would be if we can speak and respond like Peter. Nevertheless, at thy word, my body may say, don't go. My mind may say, no, I know better, but really I don't. Nevertheless, because you say so, at thy word, I will let down the net. These are words of faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by God's word. Peter heard God's word and responded correctly, faithfully. At thy word, I will let down the net. And when that happened, well, what was the result? Let's read on. Verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. I think record-breaking number. They have all their years of fishing, they have not caught so much fish at one go. And now they had gone on the sea according to the word of Jesus. They obeyed him. They went out and they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. That gives you, right, a hint of how many fishes there were and how heavy it was. How heavy the catch was. So much so that in verse 7, they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. I think the boats were filled to the brink. Right, filled to the brim, so heavy that, you know, the ships began to sink. So it was a stupendous miracle that they experienced. And when they saw this miracle, what was their response? Again, there's much we can learn how we should respond to God's word when we have experienced the power of God and his word. Look at verse 8. And Simon Peter saw it, and he fell down at Jesus' knees. He fell down to worship the Lord. Fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That's a wonderful confession, because, you know, after catching so much fish, He will say, wow, good, let us quickly get all this fish quickly to the market and sell. And I think overnight, you know, we'll be very rich, quickly sell. He could have thought of how he could be materially rich from all these things, right? How his bank account would swell. Wonderful, he was all this fishes. Do you think of that? No. Immediately he realized. He was very introspective. He began to realize, I am really nobody. I'm really sinful. I went out, worked all night and caught nothing. Really, I'm helpless, I'm hopeless. Nothing I do can save me. But Jesus, his word, being with him, obeying him is what that can save me. And he is God. And I'm so sinful. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He humbled himself. That is the correct response. When you have experienced God's word, the power of God's word, the correct response is great humility. You must humble yourself to the dust. I am sinful. I'm nobody. I'm not worthy even to come near you. Lord, stay far away from me. And when you fear God like this, then you will have wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The word of God should cause us to fear God. That's how we respond. And this fear is a good fear. Saving fear. When we realize who we are and who God is. And then we fall flat on our face, humble ourselves to the dust. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Do we humble ourselves before the Lord like this? Or when the word of God is preached and the Spirit is convicting our hearts and we say, and we begin to justify ourselves and make excuses. And if we respond by excusing ourselves, justifying ourselves, instead of saying, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Help me and save me. Then you will not receive any help. And when Peter said, I'm a sinful man, O Lord, that's where the Lord can save him. And then Jesus also, after that, told them, now you forsake all, right? In verse 11 we read, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Because Jesus told them, he told Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Right? So now they have been saved. They are born again. They confess their sins. And if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now they have become children of God. God says, now you serve me. Now I want you to catch men. Yes, you have been catching fish all your life. Now I want you to catch men, to be fishers of men. And when Jesus said these words, how did they respond? Same way. At thy word, Lord, at thy word, we will do. We will do. They took the step of faith. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all. They forsook all. I mean, the multitude of fishes that they caught, right? Such a great catch, which will bring them many, many dollars. Away with all these things. These are nothing compared to the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't hesitate. They didn't doubt. They didn't question. They didn't ask the Lord, what are my prospects if you want me to follow you? And FEBC students, when they come and serve the Lord, they're always reminded, you must serve the Lord unconditionally. It is good enough just to serve you, Lord. And they left all, right? They forsook all and followed Him and followed Him. And that's what the Lord Jesus tells us to do as well. Deny self. You want to follow me? You want to be my disciple? You are Christian? Then Christian, what must you do? What must you be? What must you be like? Deny self. You are zero. Take up your cross. And then you follow me. And I'm 100%. And when we do this, there will be great blessing. There'll be great reward. There'll be salvation. There'll be life. And Jesus never disappoints us or His people, because He's God. His promises are good. He is faithful. His promises are yes and amen. You can never make a wrong investment in investing your life, your time, following the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing His word, obeying His word. You will never make a loss. You believe that? But you go and invest outside, and all these people will keep calling you, invest this, invest in that, in this and that. Whatever bonds are out there, I do not understand all these things. You'll be, these bonds, you will really be bound. You'll be bound. You may just suffer loss. Great loss. But what is investment that is 100% guaranteed, and guaranteed not by men but by God, is this. His word. Lord, add thy word. Add thy word. I will do it. Do we have such faith? You have heard God's word. And the Spirit is teaching you. You know what is the good and right way. And you can have that faith. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have that word already. Will you now apply that word by faith? And once you do so, you will see God changing your life. And you'll never regret it. You'll never be sorry. When you look back at your life, see, oh, how I thank the Lord for saving me and for calling me. And He's such a good Savior. All these years, I'm sure many of us can testify to this. And those of you who are still outside God's kingdom, you have heard God's word. Why don't you believe? Why do you delay? Forsake all, follow the Lord, and you will live. You see, you know God's word, you hear God's word, you obey it, you live. You hear God's word, you know it, you disobey, you reject, you die. No two ways about it. And those of us who are being tempted by the world and tempted to backslide from the Lord, tempted to take God lightly, please repent, come back to Him. And you can see how good it is to walk closely with the Lord. Not easy, because we are still living in this very dark and sinful world. People may disappoint us, but Jesus never disappoints. That's the whole purpose why we are Christians. Not looking at men. Men will fail us. Men will disappoint us. But not the Lord Jesus Christ. You must know Him. And why He is. He is the only one. You must trust and must follow. Will you do this? Lord, add thy word. Because you say so. I will believe. I come to thee. I obey thee. And I'll follow thee. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, cause us, O Lord, to submit to thy word, not just to know and understand, but also to obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Help us to walk in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ, for these are the steps that lead to life, to the kingdom of God, and to heaven itself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.